I'm suiting up.
Welcome to Dr. 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth in climbing the standard ranked ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkaline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Mage of Death, this week. So, it's been a big, crazy past couple days since we've had Yeah, so why don't we go over our poll questions real quick, and then we'll take a look at what the ranked ladder looks like right now for us.
Yeah, sounds good. So last week we had two episodes, two poll questions because of the technical difficulties. The first one was for Shaman for episode 8. What aspect of the Shaman class do you like the most? And we had 43 votes, and Battle Cries with 40% of those votes was the winner.
Nice.
Murlocs 26, Overload 21. And RNG, surprisingly, I actually thought RNG would do a little better than this. We came in with only 14% of the votes. with Evolve Shaman and some of the different things that they do, and just the randomness of the totems, I guess I would have thought more people would have been excited. Or those create the big moments, right? Mm-hmm. When you have like a board of 1/1s and suddenly you play the Stormbringer and you have just this ridiculous board afterwards.
Oh yeah, for sure.
A lot of people would have liked that, but maybe not. Battle Cries are fun too though.
Oh yeah, really.
And that's supported in the new quest, and it's going to be interesting with the ladder changes and the new expansion, the quest card that is specifically about Battle Cries, see how much play that ends up getting. So that was for question number 8, or for episode 8. And then for episode 9, we had Warlock. What is your favorite Warlock legendary minion? And we had 35 votes total, 34, and then a write-in vote. Nice. And with 38%, I love you guys, Lord Jiraxxus wins this poll. Though Mal'Ganis is very close as well, 32% of the votes. Rain First Disciple, 21%. And then Archvillain Rafam with only 9% of the votes. Our one write-in candidate was actually Lord Godfrey. That's a really powerful and skill-testing card because of the built-in defile that it has with it. And then one of our friends Solarian jokingly said Carnivorous Cube was the best legendary in Warlock, and when I started to question that a little bit, he goes, "Of course, you know I'm just kidding. It is Doomguard is the most powerful legendary."
I don't disagree. Doomguard is pretty good.
Yeah, it got moved to the Hall of Fame, so there's something to be said for that. And we talk about, Savannah Highmane being so good that you can run two of them for Hunters. So, and if I remember right, Doomguard was a rare as well. So
yeah, yep.
There's a couple classes that have a really powerful rare card that saw a lot of play for a long time. So, very, very good. Thank you all for your votes. And we're going to have a poll question about Warrior here at the end of the episode. So definitely let us know what you think on that.
Yes, for sure. So yesterday, the nerf pack came down pretty hard on Mage and Warrior. So how's the ladder been looking for you since we've gotten this nerf pad on Luna's Pocket Galaxy, Conjurer's Calling, and Dr. Boom being the most prolific?
Well, I did something dumb. I told you that I wanted to craft Dino Tamer Bran, and the Sunday night, the night before the patch hit, I bought the bundle and did not get him.
Aww.
I got Anka, the rogue legendary, so okay. I just said, oh, screw it. I'm just gonna craft him. So the night before the patch hit, I crafted Bran, Dino Tamer Bran, and I was gonna play Highlander Hunter yesterday, and I did. We did, and we ended up starting at rank 2, ended up a couple stars ahead of where we went. But nice. It was interesting, the ladder felt completely different because leading up to it, I was seeing nothing but priest and mage. And I did not see a single mage last night. And I don't know that I saw a priest either. And so I went from seeing about 60% of my games, those mm-hmm. two classes, to zero. It was one night I get that, and it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. You know, looking at HS replay, seems like there's a priest deck percolating up that's a wall priest variant with the quest.
Okay.
Yay. That's gonna be fun to play against. Mm-hmm. But you know, Hunter's still really good. It's just the aggressive decks were out, and other Highlander Hunter decks were out. I played against three other Highlander Hunter decks, so the mirror was very popular. And then, you know, I saw Murloc Paladin, saw Murloc Shaman. So the really aggressive decks that were trying to punish that Highlander Hunter deck were out as well. And I think that's going to continue for a little bit. And so it's going to be interesting to see what adjustments Hunter makes as a result of it. But
yeah, I've seen a lot of Highlander Hunter. Yeah, I kind of feel like Priest, they're kind of just, people just threw Priest away because of the extra arms nerf. Because it was mm-hmm. way too good at two mana. And I don't know if there was ever a way to balance that card that it wouldn't be broken. But it's just not good. It's not playable. It's just too much swingy at two mana. So I feel like Priest will make an appearance again. Because Moshog Enforcer is a card.
It's still a good card.
Unfortunately, yeah, I was going to say, you still have some Resurrect effects, you still have Psycho Pomp, you still have
Divine Spirit Inner Fire worked really well on a 14 health minion.
Exactly, and, you know, Mass Resurrection, there's Katharina, I can never remember the priest legendary.
Katharina Murdy, I think is
Katharina. So, you know, there's ways to really manipulate that. If it's going to see a lot of play, who knows? Witchwood Grizzly's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a lot there for Priest to do. And I don't think it's going to be as powerful, but it's still probably playable. But you probably won't see much Priest for a couple of days, at least right now. I saw mostly Highlander Hunters right now, because that deck is still super powerful.
Yeah, I think the aggro sort of rogue, or mm-hmm. even more of a kind of tempo-ish rogue with like burgle effects, not necessarily the quest, though I really want the quest to be good.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be these aggro decks are going to be really good for a little bit, at least in the short term, especially since we're at the end of the month as well and people trying to get to a new rank. It's going to be interesting to see where people start to gravitate to in the beginning of September. You know, after we've had it this for a few days, things start to calm down a little bit, and what decks really start going. And I feel like if Hunter can make adjustments, it's still going to be there. And then I think Rogue's still going to be there because that Myra's Unstable Element is just so good. And it's going to be interesting to see what else. And I want to see Mage come back. I want to see Mage in some capacity come back. Hopefully not with so many huge cards that are trying to be discounted. But, I mean, there are other discount effects that Mage has available to it. So, you know, maybe Big Spell Mage comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Reno Mage has some validity to it. It's just not as mm-hmm. busted as it would be before. Rogue still has Hook Scimitar, which is stupid good. Like, yeah, that card I just saw, when I saw that, I was like, and here comes Aggro Rogue again.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, it's a really good. Solid. It's a solid card that really adds more enabling to the tempo weapon style aggro rogue. So
I think you don't need Raiding Party anymore because you just have enough weapons in the deck that you're fine. And I would tell you that in playing the deck, I think that I think that Edwin Van Cleef isn't needed in the deck. Jay Alexander's adamant that you don't need another combo card in the deck, that you want to use your enablers on the scimitar, you want to use it on your on the evil miscreant. And so you've also got SI7 agents. You've got a whole bunch of guards that need a combo activator, and something has to go. And so I've had better success without Edwin Van Cleef than with him in that deck.
I can see that, in all honesty. It could be too combo heavy, so you're trying to get to shave off a couple cards here or there. And yeah, Edwin definitely feels like a decent card to shave off, just because if you don't get him out early enough in the game, he just gets answered immediately. Like, yeah. I feel like Edwin's the best at like turn 2, 3, 4, and you can buff him up a little bit. You know, if you can get him to like a 6/6 on turn 3, then that's probably a good enough Edwin. But
I think I was only able to get him to like 6/6 once or twice, and it was always after turn 5. And at that point, or at turn 5 or later, and at that point, that 6/6 is not nearly as intimidating.
No, it's like
early.
It's like a little bit of above curve for turn 5, and you pumped in resources to do it. So, yeah, I understand. I was playing Control Shaman today.
Ooh.
Yeah, so kind of leads way to a little bit more of a control deck, a control style of Shaman. And it's not the greatest, but it is fun to play. Hagatha the Witch, always a good time. And I ended up, I had a game today against a control warrior. And I think it was a bomb. Yeah, he was a bomb / control warrior. He didn't actually have a copy of Elysiana. But okay, we still ended up going almost a turn timer before I beat him. Because it turns out Shudderwalk also is Elysiana. And it's just like you can't deal with it when he ended up to get Elysiana to make it go that far. He faceless manipulated my Elysiana and Baleful Bankered it.
Oh, what the?
Yeah, I know. It's like, all right. I was like, okay, you can have that. That's fine. But what are you going to do about it when I play Shudderwalk and the second Elysiana comes down? So it was, I had a Hagatha's Scheme in my hand that I think was up to like 33.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I just never needed it. I also saw a Token Druid, which that deck just punches Token Druid in the face. Earthquake just makes Token Druid so sad.
yeah, it does.
Because whatever you do, it's going to kill it and then kill your tree ants that come out afterwards. So I was having fun with it. I was about 50-50 against Highlander Hunter. Okay. If they were able to get the secrets up and keep on hitting the hero power button and I wasn't able to find any heal, then they were able to take me down. If I was able to find some sort of heal, I was able to generally run them out of resources.
Yeah, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, snake traps really annoying in that, or not snake, excuse me, but rat traps really annoying in that matchup.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it's really hard for the Shaman to deal with. So, yeah.
Speaking of Druid, I crafted the quest, the Druid quest, and early indications are that could be pretty good. It doesn't match up well with Highlander Hunter, so again, depending on how Highlander Hunter goes, I might have to break out Quest Druid at the beginning of September to try it out.
That deck's so much fun. It is just it's regardless if it's ever good or not, it's super fun to play.
Yeah, I played it a little bit at rank 5, and it just didn't feel like it matched up well with Mage and Warrior. And so now that those two are less prevalent, then that's going to be I want to try it again, I guess, and see how it works.
I still think Control Warrior is solid and valuable. I feel like Dr. Boom is still going to be in every Control Warrior deck. Mad Genius, because, yes, it sucks to to not have to be able to play Dr. Bulma on turn 7, but I've played a lot of Control Warriors, and there's been a lot of times I don't have Dr. Boom on in my hand on turn 7, and I'm still able to win the game.
It's still impactful whenever it comes down, and exactly. for the rest of the game at that point. And so as long as you're alive long enough to play him, it definitely yeah. feels like it's a worthy inclusion in the deck.
Yeah, and that's just me going off memory, and I don't like. I still feel like if Control Warrior is going to be a thing, then Dr. Boom's still going to be a thing. I saw someone mm-hmm. trying to play like aggressive taunt. Warrior with that card, the new one that gives it does the Armadillo effect for one mana.
The Into the Fray.
Yeah. So when it's the one mana card when they buffs all the your taunt minions in your hand +2/+2. I saw a guy running that and just trying to jam taunt minions and. I was able to get past him with the Control Shaman, so.
Yeah, there's it's going to be interesting to see what if we're going to see more Bomb Warrior and what that does, like if that suddenly starts making the Highlander decks a little bit more vulnerable, like we were talking about, like everybody was talking about before mm-hmm. the expansion hit, or if people like I went up against that really aggressive warrior deck that uses the Bloodsworn Mercenary
okay.
and can combo out a really big, you know, Leroy Jenkins or just create or duplicate a slightly injured Frothing Berserker, and then you're just kind of just in a world of hurt, and that deck looks interesting as well, and so I'm very interested to see if people just shy away from Control just because it got a nerf. Which it tends to be what happens in the short term, but how many people end up migrating back to it at some point because it's still probably a pretty good deck.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're gonna have a pretty good indication of what the impact of these nerfs at the end of September. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, how did you decide to play Control Shaman? You know, we have these nerfs that hit, and how did you determine what deck to play after the nerfs hit? Because, you know, I definitely was having a difficult time coming up with one.
So I figured Highlander Hunter is still going to be popular. I wasn't sure about what other decks, but I generally go to HS replay or HS top decks. And I start looking around. I take a look and see what their top decks are, which the data's not going to be fully upgraded, you know, updated to really reflect that as of today. But I was just looking at some of the more recently updated ladder decks, and I was like, huh, Control Shaman. This looks like, A, it's going to be fun, and B, I figured there might be some more aggressive decks, like we talked about earlier, trying to take advantage of the situation.
Right.
So I figured with some decent draws that Agarosh or Control Shaman has the tools to keep the board clear against some of the more aggressive decks, and it's got the healing with the Witch's Brew and the Walking Fountains and Hagatha and all that stuff. So I just figured it'd be an interesting thing to try to shut down aggressive decks and still have game against the more control-y decks, so that's kind of where my head was.
Sure, that makes sense. I think ultimately I ended up going with Highlander Hunter because it did not get a nerf,
yeah,
and because it was really strong before the nerfs occurred, and it didn't seem like it was going to be in a bad place necessarily immediately after the nerfs hit. And it was a deck I've been wanting to try for the last couple weeks, and so it was just like, well, you know, maybe this isn't the best idea in the world, but this is the deck I've wanted to play, and so I'm going to give it a shot. And it didn't end up costing me any stars, so that works out well. And so now, once we have some data on the, you know, with some of the with HS replay and some of this stuff, I'm going to use that to kind of try and inform my decisions on where what I start playing, like the beginning of September. But I thought it was an interesting question, given that we were still really fresh off of the balance changes. And you know, I think a lot of people, myself included, are like, well, what do I play, or how do I decide what I want to play? And so I think there's a couple different ways you can approach it.
Honestly, one of the biggest driving factors was what looks fun to me right now. Because I knew it was just, like, that was part of my mind, but I was like, look, that's why I went looking at random decks, because I was like, oh, let's just see what's fun, and, like, I'm going to have some good times just playing the game, because I can't really predict, like, if I see a priest, what does that mean for me?
Yeah.
You know, if I see a mage, what does that mean? So, like, that's kind of where I was at. I was like, I can't try and predict it, so let's play a deck that will be fun for me and that I'm comfortable with the style of the deck.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense.
So, okay. Well, speaking of classes that got nerfed, let's move into our discussion of the Warrior class. And a reminder, this is a historic look back, as this was recorded pre-Saviors of Uldum. And welcome, guys. This week we will be discussing the class of Warrior. So, May, do you want to give us the developer's insight on Warrior?
Warrior incorporates armors, weapon, and minions to destroy their opponents. So the strengths, armor, weapons, taunts. We're definitely seeing lots of taunts with Warrior. And destroying minions. Their limitations are considered card draw and card generation. So they have that occasionally, but not often. And then weaknesses: face damage spells, multi-minion buffs, and minion swarms. Seems pretty right on, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so, for the most part.
For the most part.
Exactly.
I mean, they have stuff like weapons, and then heroic strike, and then mortal strike that goes face for a lot, but sure.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, it's hard. It's a lot harder to leverage them without small time buccaneer and two cost fiery war axe and all the other pirates. So charging patches and whatnot. So you want to run us down, Nicolaius, on the key cards of the classic and basic set for the class of Warrior?
Yeah. So some of the cards that have seen play, maybe they're not seeing some play right now, but I would still consider them to be very core. Whirlwind, 1 mana, deal 1 damage to all minions. Execute, 2 mana, destroy a damaged enemy minion. I'm going to give a honorable shout out to Fiery War Axe, which used to be one of the best cards in the game. In my personal opinion, it's top 3. Ever printed, and it's a freaking classic, or it's a basic card, so it's not even like you're just given it from the very start. Like,
that's, they didn't call it Fiery Win Axe for nothing.
No, they did not. I'm also, so there's also, they just edit that. Shield Block is a 3 mana spell that gains 5 armor and draws a card. Battle Rage, 2 mana, draw a card for each damaged friendly character. It has been seen in a lot of the more cycle heavy Warrior decks. Slam is 2 mana, deal 2 damage to a minion. If it survives, draw a card. Again, similar vein as the Battle Rage in the cycle heavy decks. Frothing Berserker doesn't see a lot of play right now, but was very, very important in several other decks that we're going to be talking about. And then we've got the big 2 removal spells in Warrior. We've got Shield Slam and Brawl. This is the core. This is what makes Control Warrior work.
Mm-hmm. This is destroying those minions right here.
Yeah.
Yes.
They also have Gore Howl, which again hasn't been seeing much play in the past few years, but it's still it's still noticeable, still probably worth mentioning. 7 mana, 7/1 weapon that instead of losing a durability, it loses a attack in when you attack a minion. And then their legendary is Grommash Hellscream. 8 mana, 4/9 charge, has +6 attack while damaged.
Sounds like he's enraged or something.
Maybe they should make that a keyword.
He doesn't enrage anymore.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I'm sorry.
He's calmed down, guys. He's calmed down.
He's just very upset.
He gets angry. And you won't like him when he's angry.
No, you don't. So, and like, that's always been one of the finishers. Cruel Taskmaster, plus Grommash for 12 damage directly to the face. So that's Warrior's big burst damage is the, as of the classic. So, all right, so you want to go into some of the old cards of past, or the old decks of past?
Yeah, so Warriors had a lot of different decks over the years, but they kind of, when you talk about Warrior, you kind of need to look at it pre and post Fiery War Axe nerf. Mm-hmm. Because the class after the nerf is completely different than the class it was before the nerf. That is just how strong, just how impactful that card was to the class of Warrior. So before it, we have Control Warrior. It ran, when it had it, Shield Maiden. It ran a bunch of other just control style cards. Ysera was another one that it would run.
Baron Geddon,
Cairn Bloodhoof, Sylvanas, Ragnaros. Just these. It would have a couple bombs, and then the rest of the deck was removal.
Yeah, it was used to be referred to as Wallet Warrior because there were so many legendaries in it that felt like you had to spend a few bucks to put that deck together at that point in time.
Yeah, and then we're looking forward to Blackrock Mountain, where we get the release of Everyone Get In Here!
The old Grim Patron.
Patron Warrior was the best deck of the game for a while until they nerfed Warsong Commander and we got the whole soul of the card meme. That card is just absolutely awful right now.
It really is. And you could still play Patron Warrior after that nerf. It was still, I mean, Pavel took it to the World Championship with his Patron Warrior after the nerf. So
yeah, if I remember correctly, that was also a best of seven. So they had to bring 5 decks. So I don't know if that would have been included if it was best of 5. But he did bring it. He did win Worlds. It was still a deck. It just didn't deal obscene amounts of damage with Frozen Berserkers having charge.
Yes, that's true.
Which was more fair.
That was considered to be one of the most skill intensive decks
I've
seen, both at the time and probably even till to this day, just because of leveraging the board space, leveraging the resources, getting everything in place to really wreak havoc on the board that you need to do with that deck.
Yeah, it was extremely hard to play, but extremely rewarding. It had like a sub-50 win rate on ladder, but when you got to like the top level of legends, it had something I think like an 80% win rate. Like, it was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, that's what I remember reading about that deck.
So then we're skipping ahead to Whispers of the Old Gods, and this is Warrior Stone. This is peak Warrior. Mm-hmm. They had several different decks that they could play. They had C'thun Warrior, which was basically Control Warrior, except you ran C'thun, and the shield. I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah,
but the, it was
basically Shield Maiden with C'Thun
on steroids. Yeah.
You got ten armor. Yep.
Yeah. And then you also played the C'Thun card that shuffled C'Thun back into your deck after it died.
Twin Princes, where if C'Thun was up to over 10 attack, it summoned 2, 4, 6 taunts for 7.
Yeah.
All the other C'Thun cards. There were a lot of C'Thun cards, so.
Yeah, so it was basically just Control Warrior, but instead of, like, the wallet cards, the legendary cards, it was C'Thun cards. And it also had a tempo deck with Varian Wrynn.
Mm-hmm.
And Malkorok and stuff like that. That was interesting. And then it had a dragon package. So it had a Dragon Warrior, which ran Alexstrasza as champion, which was a 2-mana 3/3 with charge.
If you're holding a dragon.
How did that ever get printed? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Good card. Good card.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we also had, at some point, I think this was when we had it, a Worgen OTK deck, which was another one of these super high skill level skill testing decks. But you would have a Worgen and you'd play the card Charge, which used to give it charge. Now it just gives it rush. So the name kind of doesn't make sense anymore.
No, it doesn't.
And you would give it a... You would Innerage it, you would Rampage it, sometimes you'd cool Taskmaster it. So the idea was, because it became a 4, well, if you damage it by Innerage, it would become a 6/2 with Wind Fury. So that's 12 damage, and then you would want to rush, charge it. So that's going phase, and then you just deal, you know, you'd add on the Rampage, you'd add on more cool Taskmasters and stuff, and you deal an absurd amount of damage in one turn. Yeah, and then we get into the dark days of Mean Streets of Gadgetzan and Pirate Warrior.
I'm in charge now.
Arr, matey!
Yeah, basically that was the best deck for as long as it was a deck, basically, up until Knights of the Frozen Throne.
Yeah.
Your deck either had to be... had to outrace it somehow, which usually wasn't possible. It normally involved another deck using Small-Time Buccaneer, like Rogue or Shaman. God. Or it would try to out-heal it, which wasn't really a thing. Sometimes even Coin Reno, you would still die, like, on turn 7, because that's how stupid that deck was.
Yeah, you had to get them basically out of resources because the deck didn't have very much in the way of card draw. And so you were relying on a very low curve, 1 to about 6 mana, I think. 5 or 6 mana is usually where it topped out at. And like, so by about turn 8, the warrior would be out of cards.
And if you weren't dead by that point.
And if you weren't dead by then, you pretty much had stabilized to that point and could get there. But it was... it was such a ridiculous deck. When the Zoss first made on 1, leveraged the Frothing Berserkers, Korkrond Elites, Arcanite Reaper going face. It had upgrade to be able to upgrade the weapon that it ended up playing in addition to the War Axe. It's just craziness.
Also, the Small-Time Buccaneer was extremely busted when it was printed until they nerfed it, which is a 1/2... pirate that when you have a weapon equipped gets +2 attack. Small-Time Buccaneer, and you have a 1/3 weapon, a 1/1, and now a 3/2 on turn
along one. With patches along
yeah, with patches. So you have too. 2 1/1s,
yes,
a weapon that does 1 attack, and a 3/2 3/2 minion as well. It's not quite as good as the healing warlock start that you could have gotten with Zoo, but it's pretty darn good. It set you up to be able to just manhandle and do whatever you wanted for literally the next two turns at least, and then you're developing on top of it.
Yeah, and of course Patches was extremely busted. Play a pirate, get a 1/1 that charges, pulls it out of your deck, and shoots it out of a cannon onto the board. Yes. So yeah, Patches was major game problem for a long time until right before he rotated.
Like less than an expansion before it was getting rotated into Wild, they finally said, "You know what?
It was like the last.
He's not in charge anymore."
Yeah, it was like the last month before they did it. They made the Raza and Patches change before the Witchwood came out.
Yeah, so Pirate Warrior dominated pretty hard up until we get to Knights of the Frozen Throne. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we see Pirate Warrior being the second best deck alongside of anything that had the word Druid next to it, basically. Didn't really matter what you were playing. If you were playing the Druid class, you're the best deck in the game.
The Tempo Star meme of the Druid class being S tier above tier one.
I mean, they weren't far off, to be honest.
No, they weren't necessarily entirely inaccurate.
And then we get to the nerf. Fire War Axe changed from a 2-mana 3/2 weapon to a 3-mana 3/2 weapon. And that one change completely killed the class for over a year.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking. It was not an option. Vicious Syndicate even made a freaking meme story about it. A story of Fiery War Axe and Icebreaker or something. Because Shaman and Warrior were absolutely unplayable for the longest time. I don't know how else to say it. You just did not play Warrior until...
It was a joke.
The Boomsday.
And their hero card they got in Knights of the Frozen Throne was terrible.
Like, it was one of the worst ones, yeah.
The hero power was situationally okay, and you got a 4/3 weapon that could clear the board, kinda, if you didn't die. You lost your armor power up, which is better than Whirlwind on Command.
Yeah, that was like... You look at Gul'dan, which was deal 3 damage and heal 3. You look at Uther of the Ebonblade. You get the 5/3 weapon with lifesteal, and you get the 4 horsemen, which you could try to OTK to win the game. Wasn't really a thing until Varsicon's Rumble. You look at Mage. 1 damage if it kills a thing, make a water elemental. And then you look at Warrior, which is a card. It's called Whirlwind, and it costs 1 mana, but your hero power costs 2. But you can do it again.
Turn.
Yeah. But it's still so bad.
Yeah, it was.
And the weapon, I mean, attacking adjacent creatures as well was... It led us into what ended up being, I hate having to situate or position minions against Warrior, but it doesn't make up for the fact that the hero power is definitely subpar.
So I don't know why I never thought about this before. That's why Shaman and Warrior were unplayable, because they got awful hero cards in Knights of the Frozen Throne.
For the most part. I mean, yeah. Rogue didn't see a lot. Didn't see it's played outside of Quest Rogue. Mm-hmm. Rexxar was actually really bad at one point, shockingly, because they didn't have Vicious Scalehide. Without that card, I don't even know if Rexxar is really a problem.
That's fair.
Even in Frostgun's Rumble, like, it gives you resources, but it was the fact that Vicious Scalehide was a lifesteal rush beast that made it that oppressive. Anyway, those are other classes. This is Warrior.
Yes.
But it doesn't have anything to do until we get to Boomsday and we get Odd Warrior, and it's fringe-ish. It's mostly a tournament deck because you really don't want to play it on ladder because it is so slow.
Mm-hmm.
Your essentially win condition is to hit tank up, gain 4 armor every single turn until your opponent concedes.
Yep. Yeah,
that was how you won.
Yep.
And then we get into Rascon's Rumble, and we have Odd Warrior again, except now it's got dragons, which is significantly better. Mm-hmm. You have the Crowd Roaster, you have the M-Scale Drake, you have the Dragon Maw Scorcher, you have the, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the 3-mana 3-2 with the Execute effect.
Yep, I know what you're talking about.
If you're holding a dragon, execute a damaged enemy minion. So it actually got reasonable minions to play alongside its hero power of tanking up. Yeah, it was fine, mm-hmm. right? Like, it was good. Also, kind of shockingly, I don't remember Dr. Boom Mad Genius being played, like, at all. Mm-hmm. No, because the tank up was just better most of the time, and you didn't have that many mechs. I'm pretty sure you still ran Omega Assembly, because it was just extreme value.
Yeah, it's still really good. Yeah, I mean, Dr. Boom Mad Genius was a game
changer for Warrior. I do think that they ran it in the... I do think they ran it because it was better, but it wasn't as, like, when we think of Dr. Boom now, it's absolutely infuriating to play against because of the rush and all that stuff, but it wasn't nearly as bad to deal with in Rascon's Rumble because there's so many other things that were making us pull our hair out, namely Malagos Druid, and then it got nerfed, and then Midrange Hunter. Because that was all you could really play for the last bit.
There were other hero cards that you could keep up or potentially end a game before the value of Dr. Boom Mad Genius would really come back and take over the game like it does now, right?
Yeah.
It was
Rex. I mean, Rexxar just beats it hands down. The value it of was, Rexxar was, yeah.
It was a very hard matchup. Also, Paladin was like a 95% win rate versus it or something because they had no way to interact with the four horsemen. They weren't really, they didn't really have, even with the dragons, they didn't have a lot of minions to pressure them down. So, anyway, we're getting to Rise of Shadows where Baku has been rotated. So there's no more Odd Warrior. But it's okay, because Dr. Boom's time to shine is now, along with... Did somebody order a bomb?
Yep.
Somebody did.
Clockwork Goblin.
That somebody order a bomb is like my favorite voice line they've ever printed. I love it so much.
It's great.
It's pretty good.
And just Bomb Warrior is an insanely fun deck to play. It's infuriating to play against. It is one of the pillars of the current ladder meta and specialist meta. It is one of the best decks in the game right now. Like, it's hard to compete against it.
It's Wrench Caliber. Like, that card is so stupid good. It's not even funny. A card that represents 16 damage for 4.
Yeah, and then they took Dr. Boom, which was a 7-mana 7/7 that summoned 2 Boom Bots, and it's like, what if we get even 6 Boom Bots?
That sounds good to me. Fair and balanced.
And then if you play Dr.
When
Boom,
they have rush.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know how that kind of came. Like, I'm glad that it did because I love playing it, but I don't understand the thought process of this is one of the strongest cards of all time. It won like the Twitter poll of being the strongest card printed, which I disagree with because I think people just had a bit of bias.
Yeah, I would agree.
But regardless, it did deserve to be in that conversation. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what if we make it better?
So that I will. You just said Clockwork Goblin. One of my favorite voice lines of the game right now is, "Who is that handsome devil?"
Yes,
when you play him against the Dr. Boom hero. So that is
one of my favorites. I have not actually heard that. I need to find that.
Yeah, when that's the fantastic voice line when you play Blastmaster against Mad Genius.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then there's also a Control Warrior variant that doesn't have the bombs but has a bit more removal stuff like Super Colliders,
Slams,
Harrison Jones, Big Game Hunters. Basically stuff to try to deal with Bomb Hunters and Cyclone Mages, because those are the two biggest predators against that deck. Whereas the Bomb Warrior is a bit more tempo oriented, it has more inevitability. The Control Warrior is basically going back to the I'm going to make your life as miserable as possible and run you out of resources and hopefully don't die.
And then play Elsiana and get 10 additional cards in which to continue this charade.
To be fair, I've seen Bomb Warriors run that too. I think that's like a pretty big question for me is, do I run Elsiana in Bomb Warrior?
It depends. It depends on the style. It depends on your gameplay style. Mm-hmm. Like, some people are a bit more aggressive with their cards. I tend to be a little bit more controlling with my cards, even in the Bomb Warrior, so I do play Elsiana. But it's not a mandatory card like it is in the Control Warrior, because that is how you beat a lot of like Control Shamans and stuff like that. Like, you need to have the Elsiana or you just lose. Yeah. And I'm glad that we're in a place where Elsiana costs 9, so you don't have like Elsiana and then your Youthful Brewmaster it to make the game go on to the turn timer.
Which, you know, to be fair, the Control Warriors are still running Geppetto Joy Buzz to potentially, like, obviously getting, they have a lot of great Battlecry minions, but it also gives you the chance to get a 1-mana 1/1 Elsiana, which you can bounce.
Yeah.
So.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
exactly. As opposed to it just being as accessible as it used to be and making Ladder absolutely miserable to play on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And tournaments to play in. Like, God, the tournament rounds were like 2 hours for a best of three. It was horrendous. Oh, yeah,
they were long games, real long games. I mean, the tournament scene right now, anyways, was Rogue. It's Rock, Paper, Scissors, like you said in an earlier episode. Rogue, Warrior, Mage.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be pointed out that thanks to Warrior, we actually know what a turn timer limit is, both with with Dead Man's Hand, which was a card that was one way that Warrior would fatigue out opponents by 2 mana putting the contents of their current hand back into their deck, a copy of their current hand back into their deck. And then now Elsiana again is helping add as many as 20 cards potentially, or was doing another 20 cards to your deck.
Yeah, actually Odd Warrior as well back in the Boomsday frequently went to the turn timer as well, especially in tournaments. Mm-hmm. If you want a snooze fest, then go look at the Bomb Warrior Mirror. The Odd Warrior Mirrors in DreamHack Montreal. They go to the turn timer. It was so boring.
They had to make up, because of Dead Man's Hand, they had to make up rules on how to deal with turn limit in esports play. It is absolutely amazing that we have this because of Warrior and the things Warrior can do and has been capable of doing.
I think it was in the final week of Grandmasters America's race versus Purple. They hit turn timer too. And like, they're like talking about it, like it's going to go on and both the heroes blow up and they're like, what?
Yeah. Purple was actually a turn away from winning. Reyes was going to die from the fatigue, but the turn timer was hit and both their portraits exploded. That was awful.
I've only had that happen once in the game, and that was with Control Warrior in Rise of Shadows.
Yeah. I also just want to quickly touch upon Mechathune Warrior, which was a OTK deck that used the Boom Ship to pull out Mechathil and Malagos, and then you would play two Inner Reaches, one on each of them, and then Whirlwind. Mostly, I think it was used during the Odd Warrior meta to try and like counter other warriors. If I remember correctly, it wasn't a huge player in the Mechathune decks. But it existed. It was a thing. But the reason why Warrior has been able to go this long, like be the only class that can consistently go to the turn timer, is because of their hero power. And it's kind of sad when you compare Warrior's hero power to Priest's hero power. Because, like, they do very similar things. And you think, yeah, Priest being able to heal minions makes it better.
No.
Not really. It's Warriors, which is better because it stacks and you can go to, like, 60 life. Whereas Priest is stuck with no minions on board and 30 health.
Exactly. Yay. It's just hands down a better version of the Priest hero power because it stacks above max.
Yeah. I mean, if Priest ever gets a way to actually use their hero power, then it's really good. Then it's probably better than Warrior. But until that time, mostly it's just used to heal face, and then in that case, the Warrior hero power is significantly better.
Yeah, because on turn two, if you don't have anything going on, you gain two armor as Warrior. You heal your face or your opponent's face and say, you know, hello.
The light shall burn you.
And you heal their face. And you're just like, well, I just wasted two mana because I didn't have anything else to do with my mana at this point in time.
I know this is the Warrior episode, but if you've never seen it, what's it called? Like Crip... the Unicorn Priest video. Have you guys never Oh my god, I need to share this with you. I need to share this with you. This is amazing. Anyway, I know this is the Warrior, but this is a Priest thing. If you've never seen it, look up like Crip Unicorn Priest. It is absolutely fantastic. But it kind of, one of the things that they say is, I hero power and emote. And that is kind of what Priest turn 2 has been for all of Hearthstone. And you just look at Warriors and it's so significantly better because you're able to stack that armor and you don't feel bad about it. Like, there are very few hero powers that you feel good about doing on turn 2. I would say Warlock is one of them. Rogue is another one. And Warrior is the third one. I don't think you want to really be doing hero power on any of the six other classes on turn two, but those three classes are perfectly fine doing that most of the time. And that armor stacking, along with the shield block, along with the Dr. Boom hero power, stuff like that, makes your shield slam so much better. So it's not even like you're losing tempo most of the time because you're making your shield slam better.
Exactly. For sure. All right.
And then you also use your weapons as a resource most of the time, so you're making up that lost health. So, like, you're taking that damage, but you're making it back up with your armor, your power.
You're running your opponent out of their resources at your health, which you can replenish relatively easy as a warrior.
Yeah, that's another thing. If Priest had, like, an actual weapon, it might actually be pretty... Like, its hero power would be so much better. Because you wouldn't be at 30 health most of the time, like Warrior is.
Yeah, if they had an equivalent of Shield Slam, like something that did something like that, it would be. I mean, but they do have Shadow Word Death, which is, you know, they got Shadow Word Pain and Shadow Word Death, which are both very good removal tools. So,
yeah. Anyway,
it is what it is. Yeah. So. All right, guys, so any last words about Warrior before we head off?
I would just say that I like the rush mechanic in Warrior more than I like it probably in just about any other class in the game. They've got some tools built into the class to leverage the rush mechanic, as well as once those once those minions get hurt, you have the ability to duplicate them potentially with some cards. I don't know if that's necessarily so great, but I like the rush mechanic, and there's been decks that have been close to being viable or kind of viable with the rush, with leveraging the rush mechanic, and I definitely would like to see more of that going forward, because it's a way of affecting the board immediately, but also like it has some interesting gameplay, I think.
Yeah, rush is more interesting and less broken than charge.
Yeah.
I would say that Warrior is a hard class to learn, along with Rogue. It's a lot about managing your resources, a lot of managing your removal. It's a class that a lot of people either love or they really hate, both to play as and play against.
I raised my hand.
Yeah, because it's one of the, you know, if you like playing aggressive decks, then Warrior is probably your least favorite class to play against because of all the removal and all the life gain and stuff that they have. And then when they try and play it, it requires such a shift in the mindset that it's something that can be off-putting. And I think that Warrior is still kind of trying to find its class identity at this point. Besides Dr. Boom, it doesn't have that much going for it. It feels like it's still really in the post-War Axe nerf era. So I know a lot of people have been calling for a Dr. Boom nerf. I don't know what would happen if Warrior gets a Dr. Boom nerf without something else coming in, because it feels like it would just go back to how it was in like the Witchwood.
Yeah. I was going to say, we saw how just non-viable in standard ladder and in tournaments that Warrior was for the longest time, the memes of just not being present. And right now, Dr. Boom is the linchpin, I think, to any Warrior deck right now. And so having that get nerfed, depending on how heavy-handed that nerf is, it could completely obliterate the class until something fairly impactful comes along.
Yeah, I would agree too. It's the linchpin holding the deck to get the class together right now. So,
before we go, I do want to say something really quick. We kind of touched on it pretty briefly. Quest Warrior was mostly played in the odd, but it did exist as a standalone back in Un'Goro. Sorry, just wanted to throw that in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hero power, the Ragnaros hero power shots. Watching tournaments go back and forth with people just hitting the hero power and seeing where those shots go.
Yeah, I mean,
that was a fun deck to play. That was a more minion focused. It still ran a bunch of the removal stuff, but it actually had a solid end game, which a lot of Warrior decks don't really have outside of running them out of removal. You know, it's one of the reasons why Bomb Warrior has been as popular as it has been, especially because it is a Warrior deck with control elements that has an end game. You draw your bombs and you die. This is a similar concept of removal elements with taunts, so you don't take as much face damage, and then the Ragnaros hero power is your end game.
And then it really resurfaced again in with Witchwood with the Phantom Militia, the 2/4 for 3 with Echo, so you can get 3 taunts out, three ticks on your quest out of one card. It was really good. So,
all right, I think that's it.
Yep. All right, let's wrap it up. And we're back. So that's going to do it for us this week. Mage, you want to give us this week's Warrior poll question?
Sure. So the poll question for this week, we talked a lot about the different decks in the history of Warrior, And I think I think based on our discussion, you could tell there's some varying opinions of the proper way to play Warrior. Mm-hmm. And so I want to ask our audience, what is your preferred play style when you're playing Warrior? Is it aggressive? Do you want to play something like a pirate warrior that's hitting face, going face, and using those weapons to go face as well? Do you want a tempo or mid-range? That could be like dragon warrior or rush warrior. A lot of tempo warriors over the years. And even I would classify bomb warrior as more of a tempo deck. Mm-hmm. From a more recent standpoint. Do you like control warrior? There's so many incarnations of control warrior there as well. Definitely the big boogeyman here most recently was the control warrior. And then last but not least, we've got combo. That could be patron warrior from the past or more recently the Mechathun warrior. So those are the four main play styles that Warrior has seen over the years. There's obviously a couple others. If you want to vote for one of those, definitely reply to the poll question and give us your write-in vote. But let us know what is your preferred play style, and we will talk about the results next week.
With Nikolaios back, too.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, it's going to be great to have all of us back together and get a new live episode. So that's going to do it for us this week. You can find us on Twitter, you can find us on iTunes, Podbean, all your other podcasters, the Google Play Store, Dr3HS. And go ahead, if you like what you're hearing, please leave us a review. That'd be great. That kind of helps us become a little bit more visible and gives us just a little bit more of a presence in the Hearthstone podcast sphere, and hopefully get us out to some more people to really field these poll questions and get those discussions going. Also, I want to shout out Ben Hearthstone for Valuetown had its last episode this week, and he kind of gave us a shout out saying that we are one of the other Hearthstone podcasts that you could listen to. So thank you, my friend. For considering us one of the quality Hearthstone podcasts. We really appreciate it. So you can find the show on Twitter at Dr3HS. You can email us at Dr3HS@gmail.com. And you can find me, Daring Alkaline, at Daring Alkaline on Twitter. Mage, where can they find you?
Yeah, so on Twitter, you can find me at Mage Death, MageAdeath. And it is twitch.tv/MageDeath, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I stream there as well. And don't forget about our Discord as well. We've got a Discord you could join. And we were talking about the great amalgamation tavern brawl actually a little bit in the Discord this week as well. So interesting stuff there.
Yeah, for sure. Come on, come get some interesting discussions going on with us there. So, all right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this week. I'm on fire with mispronouncing things, so I'm just going to stop while I'm ahead.